Welcome to Education Conversations, where we share ideas on education today and explore ways to help students and teachers thrive. Thank you for tuning into this episode, More Than a Ticket, a bright future for students through Florida Lottery Scholarships. The cost of higher education is a growing concern for both parents and students, but opportunities like Florida Lottery-funded scholarships are helping open doors that might otherwise feel out of reach. From Florida Bright Futures to other state-supported programs, these scholarships reward hard work, ease financial pressure, and give students a clearer path toward college and career success right here in Florida. In today's conversation, Jennifer is joined by Shakira Myrick, the Florida Lottery's Manager of Strategic Partnerships, who brings both expertise and heart to this topic. Also joining is Student Success Coach Diana Barris to share her insights in working directly with students. Together, they'll explore how these scholarships work, who qualifies, and how families can take meaningful steps now to make higher education more attainable.
Hey, podcast listeners, it's Jennifer Vine, and very happy to have you all tuning in today. We've got a great guest that is going to really provide some really helpful information for the families and students that are navigating life beyond high school. And so, Shakira, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm super glad to be here and to be able to represent for the Florida Lottery and the Florida Bright Futures Scholarship Program.
Yeah, and we are so excited to learn more about it. The Florida Lottery provides so many great opportunities for families to benefit from your scholarship programs like the Florida Bright Futures. So I think you're going to be a wealth of information for our listeners today.
I totally agree. I'm ready to dive in and be able to share any information that would be helpful for students and parents and teachers all right there in Sarasota.
Oh, that's great, Shakira. Many people might not know that the Florida Lottery is really connected to education. Sometimes people just look at the Florida Lottery as an entertainment piece or something, or their hot chance of, you know, winning a lot of money, but it's really connected to a very purpose-driven place with supporting education. So maybe you can start with giving us a little bit of history and how Florida Bright Futures evolved through that connection.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So the Bright Futures Scholarship Program was created in 1997 by the Florida Legislature, and the Florida Lottery is a primary funding source of the Florida Bright Futures Scholarship Program. It is one of our beneficiaries. You will hear a lot of people say it's the reason why we exist. Another tagline that we use is every ticket supports or funds a student education. So we are very, very dedicated to making sure that our players know that and that the public knows about the Florida Bright Futures Scholarship Program and that the Florida Lottery primarily funds it. So that is our beneficiary. It's something that we take a lot of pride in talking about and making sure that we get the message out about Bright Futures, and that it is a pathway for a lot of students. And since the Bright Futures Scholarship Program inception, the lottery has contributed over $9.3 billion to the scholarship and helped over 1 million students attend college.
Wow, that's an impressive data points there, Shakira, because the Florida Bright Futures has been a significant opener for many students, and to hear you put that in the numbers is really quite powerful. You know, right now, Florida Bright Futures includes four different scholarship awards, two that are kind of pretty much sitting in the university college pathway program, and then two that are really more focused on the technical college and the vocational tracks. I think we call them the Florida Academic Scholars, the Florida Medallion Scholars, and then there's the Gold Seal Vocational and Gold Seal CAPE. And so even unpacking those four scholarship opportunities, I think, is going to be really informative for families, because many times we just kind of park everything under Florida Bright Futures and not really distilling all of that. So can you maybe start like shedding light to our listeners about some of the unique differences between those different scholarships?
Absolutely. So the easiest way to kind of explain is that Florida Academic Scholarship is for the highest level. Full tuition coverage is going to be 100%. Florida Medallion Scholars is going to be partial tuition support, so it's going to be 75%. And then you have Gold Seal Vocational, which is for students that are pursuing trades. And then Florida Gold Seal CAPE is for career and technical education pathways. The biggest takeaway is that, you know, college is not the only path. We also support workforce and technical careers as well.
Yeah, which is really helpful. And I would imagine, I don't know if you see participation rates between the two or if you track that, but would you say that the two kind of technical vocational tracks are underutilized versus what you see on the other academic side? Or maybe I'm just incorrect on that assumption.
No, I think that's a fair assumption to make. So we do our due diligence in our Department of Strategic Partnerships to make sure that we get testimonials from students that have bright futures. But the majority of the testimonials that I get back are from students that have Florida Academic and Florida Medallion Scholars. I know there are students that are taking advantage of the Gold Seal Vocational, Gold Seal CAPE. However, in terms of where they are, you know, if they're still in their fields, what they, you know, did after they got the scholarship, are they willing to share their story? It's a little bit more difficult to find them. So I would say that it's not that it's an underutilization, but I will say if when those students get that scholarship, if they are out there, them coming back and telling their story and being able to like put back into, you know, being in their community and things like that, maybe because they're immediately in the workforce.
Yes.
It might be a little bit more difficult to do that. However, I have seen just with the knowledge of like going out, meeting Bright Future Scholarship recipients, seeing and hearing from the Gold Seal CAPE and Gold Seal Vocational students has been rather low. There is a rare gem when I'm able to talk to a student that had that scholarship.
Well, I think we probably have a good person here in the house with Diana Barris, one of our student success coaches, and certainly our scholarship manager. We can help share those stories with you. But just to take this a little bit further before I ask Diana for some input, if we want students and parents to know a couple of key criteria or maybe some tips for success, what would you share with them about the important elements and the qualifiers for these different scholarships?
Oh, I absolutely love this question. So I would say that the main things is to go ahead and definitely start early. As the parent of a seven-year-old, I'm sorry now, I'm like, college is so expensive. And I think that being in Florida is a true benefit because we have scholarships like the Florida Bright Future Scholarship. So two key applications are going to be the FFAA and the FAFSA. Deadlines are very strict. They're very time sensitive, especially during your high school senior year. So just making sure that you're adhering to all of the deadlines. Students must meet GPA requirements, service hours, and test score benchmarks as well, depending on which scholarship you choose. So it's very important to make sure that you're tracking all of these things in, you know, the best way that you can, making sure that you have a Bright Futures journal or you have some type of note that can help you to keep up with all of the deadlines, the requirements for each one of the tiers of the scholarship. And lastly, most importantly, build a really, really good and fruitful relationship with your student success coaches or your school counselors.
Yeah, I think you just gave a great opening for Diana to actually give some input because you are so right that just navigating all of this stuff can be very challenging. And so, Diana, as you've been working with students and families and working through kind of this whole navigational process, what would you add or what do you share about Florida Bright Futures or any of the other elements that are important to this process?
I echo exactly what Shakira just shared. The sooner the better. What I find are a lot of families and students have heard about Bright Futures, but don't know the nitty gritty details of how to attain it. Starting even 10th grade is a great starting off point for our students to start preparing for the ACT or SAT or CLT here in Florida, and as well as working towards those volunteer and work hours. We definitely try to prepare our students with creating resumes and things of that nature. That way they're able to track their progress. But more specifically, that's what I find is that the awareness is not there. They don't understand the difference between the vocational scholarships versus within Bright Futures versus the academic. And knowing even with the vocational, there are still some test scores that they need to meet as well. So that's what I find is just lack of information. So if we can present that early on, they're on a better path to success for sure.
That's great. So Shakira, are there any time-bound requirements where as the families are learning about Florida Bright Futures that it might be too late, that they learn something too late in the game? So what are some of those time-bound requirements that they really need to be watching for?
So in terms of the requirements, the deadlines, the data, it can be super scattered in terms of where you can get that information from. One thing that we tried to do in our analysis of Bright Futures and the lack of knowledge for parents and teachers and those that are trying to help these students get the scholarship is that the information was hard to digest. It was overwhelming. So we created a website. It is floridabrightfutures.gov. That basically has what you need or directly what you need in a nutshell in terms of the scholarship, its application, and how you can take the best route to be able to apply for it. I would say that that site is going to hold and be sort of like a handbook for a lot of the parents and students to be able to get information about Bright Futures, understand the deadlines. And it's important to note too, a lot of the requirements do change every legislative session. So even with us having this podcast and conversation right now, when we leave out a session, something could, you know, change, and that could potentially make that everything that we're saying now have a different requirement next time. So I would say the website is going to be that place in which we keep updated. So we monitor the session, and if any changes have been made, we make sure that we reflect them on that site so that the students, parents, and teachers are getting the most updated information in real time.
Okay, that's super helpful. So vigilant monitoring, plus the addition of a student success coach. I just still can't go. Every time you're sharing about all the different deadlines, I feel like it's almost like you're orchestrating some master plan, which it really is. And so having someone that kind of stays on cue with you on those deadlines.
That's why it's extremely important. Students are working with their counselors at school, that they are meeting those requirements. Foreign language is a common one that gets missed because here in Sarasota, the high school students just need one credit, but they need two for Bright Futures, college admission, and so forth.
That is a very important thing to remember. So going back to what Shakira said, going to the floridabrightfutures.gov website would be the most updated and informative information that you can have that's also timely. Everyone in agreement on that?
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay. So Shakira, I like that. Thank you. We're all in agreement. Roger that. Okay. So FFAA and FAFSA.
Florida Financial Aid Application.
So of those two very important applications, let's talk a little bit about the process. When should students apply? So Shakira, I'll start with you. And then Diana, if you can add anything, that'd be great.
Love that. Students can apply their high school senior year for Bright Futures, and they definitely should apply their high school senior year of Bright Futures. There is an early application where students can be notified as early as May, if I'm not mistaken, and then you can apply as late as August of your high school senior year.
Okay, very good. And then Diana, add a little bit more on the FAFSA as well.
Yes, and if I can piggyback off Shakira as well. On the importance of those dates that she just shared.
Yes, please.
Because for Bright Futures, they're given the opportunity to raise those test scores until the end of August after they graduate. So that's a great point if someone is very close to meeting that 75% or 100% tier in getting
take another test.
Take one of our workshops that we offer here at the Education Foundation.
That is very helpful advice.
But to her point, the seniors only have really until graduation to get their volunteer hours or work hours and their GPA up.
Right.
But obviously, we can't use the test scores for admission, but for Bright Futures, they still have that summer afterward to raise it up.
Okay, well, let's stay on this, and then I'll go back to the FAFSA in a minute, but let's stay on this August 31st senior year deadline. So what happens if a student says, I'm not going to be needing Florida Bright Futures. I don't need it, so I'm not going to apply. Maybe, hypothetically, I'm going out of state, so they don't see the need to apply for Florida Bright Futures. But alas, the student goes one semester out of Florida and then returns for a myriad of different reasons. Can they apply for Florida Bright Futures?
No.
Yes. Okay. So stay on that. Families and students, listen clearly to this. Why is that August 31st deadline so important?
Well, so they only have so much time after, you know, once they graduate, right? If a student wants to go out of state, I tell them, please apply for Florida Bright Futures because you may decide to come back. They have 5 years after graduation to utilize those funds if they are eligible. Once you've graduated, we're done.
Okay, so once September 1st rolls around of that senior's year, and then they come back 3 years later, even 6 months later, it's a no-go. Is that right, Shakiria?
That is right. I love that you said that, Diana. You cannot use a scholarship outside of Florida. However, like you said, things can change. Plans don't always go as planned. You know, you're thinking that you're going to whatever school out of state so that you can get away. And then you apply for Bright Futures and you get it. And you realize that tuition out of state is way more costly than it would be if you stayed and went to a Florida school. Anything can happen. It's important to apply. You do have that window where you can defer your scholarship. You know, I've heard stories of students that leave and they think that they're going to, you know, do X, Y, and Z. They come back and they reinstate their scholarship and they stay right here in the great state of Florida. So I think that, you know, you should definitely apply. Even if you're thinking you're going to leave, you cannot use that scholarship elsewhere. However, plans don't always go as planned. And if you want to make sure that you have a backup, Bright Futures can be that.
Yeah, that's a great clarifying point. So let's talk a little bit about, sometimes families know about need-based aid and merit-based aid. And some. How would you define the Florida Bright Futures scholarships?
Bright Futures is merit-based, and that is basically, it is based on your academic achievements. So it is not based on your need, your income, anything related to that. It is only related to your academic achievement. So it is merit-based. How well you do in school, how early you're preparing, how much time you've taken to, you know, divulge into those requirements, and then look at what you're doing and make sure that it applies to Bright Futures. But again, it is merit-based, so that is based on a scholar's academic achievement.
Okay, so then why is completing the FAFSA so critical? Because there could be some families that say, I'm not going to complete the FAFSA, but I want to fill out the Bright Futures. So why is that also another critical connection point?
That is an amazing question. So for certain, the FFAA is required for Bright Futures because it is still a scholarship. So it is scholarship money that is being provided. So it still needs to be reported and it needs to, you know, make sure that all students complete that FFAA. In terms of the FAFSA, again, we are proud cheerleader of the Florida Bright Futures Scholarship Program. However, there are many, many other scholarships out there and available for students. And there is no way you would know that if you did not complete the FAFSA. The FAFSA will open doors to more scholarships than just Bright Futures. You can find out what else is available to you, whether it's merit-based or need-based. When you fill out that FAFSA, the endless opportunities of scholarships and funding will become available to you. But again, I'm so elated that Diana is on this call. It's important to talk to someone or your student's success coaches because there are a lot of things being thrown at you when you are entering into college and filling out these applications. You will see a lot of information, a lot of fun things that you can click on that has dollars attached to it. But you have to make sure that you're talking to someone about what you're doing, really while you're doing it or before, because there are so many options out there, and there is a huge difference in a scholarship or grant and a loan.
Yeah. So, Diana, what are you seeing in terms of obstacles from students not applying? What are some of the barriers that you see students are facing or the inactivity? I don't know what how you'd respond.
No, that's a good question, just because I think when students and families that are aware of Bright Futures, they automatically assume academic. They're not looking at, you know, the students who are looking into maybe a trade or a certificate program are not aware of this. And in my own experience, I have to break it down. Just because they assume, well, I maybe am not an academically inclined student, so I'm not going to go off to university or local community college.
So how a student just sees themselves.
Correct. Because they compare.
Yes.
And they talk to each other. And so it is important to, again, provide this information early on, right? And educating them on what the resources are, but understanding what their path is so that we can break down these opportunities for them. Because I'll say in my own experience, the vocational scholarship under Bright Futures is underutilized from what I've seen.
Right.
And it's just that students just not being aware, getting them to apply, you know, towards the end of senior year, the senioritis kicks in and they don't want to fill out another application. But it's a very simple application, takes less than 10 minutes to complete. But I'd rather they be, you know, safe than sorry, depending on where their path goes. This is something that they can, if they are eligible for, they can definitely utilize. And another benefit to it also for our students who maybe are on a fast track, maybe they did dual enrollment, whatever it is, they could potentially use some of this money toward, or the scholarship towards the first semester of their master's program if they are so inclined to continue moving forward in their education.
Look at that. You're just continuing to add value of why we need to have student success coaches. So Diana, how would you define a student success coach for listeners that may not understand what that terminology means?
I call it AKA life coach. I have the best job. I have the opportunity of working with high school students and their families, their parents, their guardians, and really providing them that personalized support and care to helping them with their path for after graduation, whatever they may be, whether it's university, military, a trade school, career. But we provide that step-by-step support depending on what their interests are, you know, and providing that guidance. Hence why I say life coach, because we are striving to make sure that they are prepared on how to survive after high school.
Yeah.
Making sure they have those life skills, ensuring that, you know, they're aware of how to communicate professionally and how can they navigate through everything, because there are just so many options out there. And it can be very overwhelming. And if maybe my family or my mom or dad didn't go to college, even if they did, it's completely different now. I always just say we provide that one-on-one support to help them with their path.
Yeah, and that's helpful for listeners who may be outside of Sarasota and in other districts across the state. They may have the terminology for these student success coaches in different ways and formats. It's the primarily to augment what school counselors are trained and skilled to do and are available in all the public schools. Just sometimes they have a lot of students that they're working with, and so we're just trying to come in here and bridge that gap. So Shakiria, I want to go back to you, as this has been very eye-opening about the Florida Bright Futures, and particularly recognizing those two vocational technical tracks that can be scholarships that kids can apply for. Do you track the percentages of how much you award each year? Because you started off with, I think you said something over $1 billion over the lifespan. It's a significant amount of dollars, but do you ever see money left on the table?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would say in terms of what we see and how we are able to be a cheerleader for the scholarship, not necessarily. So we do partner closely with the Department of Education, and we are able to get the numbers regarding how much money from the lottery goes towards the scholarship. I will say the Florida legislature did create the Bright Future Scholarship Program. So any data points or any information that is being, you know, tracked or being viewed would be held by the Department of Education. But from what I've seen, and it's been in existence for a few years now, it's not that students or that there's money left on the table. It is that lack of awareness and knowledge. There has not been a year where there's been more students apply for it than there has been funds to be able to support it. So I can wholeheartedly say that it's not a lack of funding or like, you know, funds being left on the table. I would say there's funds left on the table for the students that don't apply,
yes,
but there hasn't been a year that we haven't been able to meet the needs of all of the students that have been awarded Bright Futures from inception.
Well, and it also sounds like you've got the resounding support of triangulating the support and the commitment from Florida Lottery, the Florida Department of Education, and the legislature to ensure that students and families have this very valuable resource, you know, kind of at their fingertips. So I think that's really been enlightening to hear how you all have created this and dispersed the dollars accordingly. My last question, at least for now, I think this is my last question. I could potentially have a follow-up, but we'll stick with this as potentially being the last question, Shakiria. I know you partner with the Florida Lottery, partners with the Consortium of Florida Education Foundations, and we all want to do better to help make sure students and family are informed about these valuable scholarships and the application process and everything. So is there anything that we can do collectively to help improve the continuation, the outreach to ensure more families are taking advantage of this resource?
So working with the Consortium of Education Foundations is truly important, and maximizing on that, so that every year when we hear about those challenges from people like Diana, our student success coaches, and we hear that, okay, it's a lack of knowledge, it's a lack of this, it's a lack of whatever that we're hearing from them, we're able to take our partnerships and maximize on the resources so that students won't feel like there's a gap in what we're saying on this call and then what's actually being produced. So partnerships are super important across the state of Florida to make sure that, for one, we're getting the word out, and for two, we're actually hitting those points and targets in which we're hearing from the experts in the field that these students need assistance with. If that's ACT, SAT prep, if that is being able to get the volunteer hours, they don't know where to go, where to turn to, if that is sitting down in a workshop and going through the FAFSA or the FFAA application line by line, what does that look like for these students and how can we better serve as a resource? It's connecting, it's partnerships, it's making sure that we honestly put our money where our mouth is, and that's a lot to say from the lottery.
You have outlined this so well and also reinforced the many things that we actually offer students and families here. So just to give a nod, a quick shout out to the workshops that we offer, like Diana, you mentioned the test prep, ACT test prep. We have FAFSA workshops. We have all of these different things. And so what I would say is for those listeners who want to learn more, you can check out our website at edfoundationsrq.org. But certainly I want to go back and make sure you all remembered hearing about FloridaBrightFutures.gov. And Shakiria, the partnerships are so critical. I know, you know, we are a member of the Consortium of Florida Education Foundations. We will certainly share this across the state to all of our member partners, because what you're sharing about the four different scholarships that are available, how we can together increase that visibility, we're certainly committed to doing so. So just really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today, Shakiria.
Absolutely. I'm grateful to be able to share more information about Bright Futures. Happy to be a resource, and the lottery will continue to build partnerships and make sure that we are doing more than just talking about what we do for the Bright Futures Scholarship. We're actually being there and making sure that our difference is impacted across the state.
Yeah, you're definitely changing lives. I'll just say that. So for the listeners, students and families, here are some takeaways. Just remember a couple of things. Let's see. August 31st is a critical date of your senior year. Complete the FFAA. Complete the FAFSA.
You can retake any of the tests.
Yes.
ACT, CLT, and SAT to improve your eligibility for the academic scholarship.
There's also a super score in terms of the ACT and SAT. However many times you take it, the highest score is what is going to be calculated when you apply for Bright Futures.
And there you go. You left us with great, great information. So listeners, that wraps up today's podcast. I just want to thank you all for tuning in to Education Conversations. Please share this out to anybody that you know who has rising students in the high school years, even in the middle school. We got to get this information out to all these families so they know how important and critical this very valuable resource is to us. So listeners, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.